Good morning, Grace Church. Our reading today is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. And if you're following along in the Pew Bible, we are on page 779. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his help as we turn to his word this morning. Well, Father, even as we gladly lift our voices to you in worship this morning, I am also just so very aware of my need, of our need. Perhaps my awareness is all the greater this year, more than most. God, we need you to work. So God, I pray this morning as we begin our Advent series, as we begin preparing our hearts to celebrate the arrival, the long-awaited, the long-anticipated, the long-looked-for arrival of your Son Jesus born to us. I pray that you would open our eyes to see him in all his majesty. And I pray that you would so tune our hearts so that our hopes and fears would be met in him. I pray that you would so work in us that our trust and our affections would be aimed fully at him this season. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent. We're going to take these next four Sundays and, of course, Christmas Eve to anticipate the arrival of Christmas. And then on Christmas, of course, we celebrate the arrival of God himself with us through the birth of the Lord Jesus. And look, I am not afraid to say that this is by far my favorite time of year. And I love all the stuff that comes with it. I love all the lights and all the decorations and even the snow, if we're fortunate enough to have a white Christmas. Yes, I said fortunate enough to have a white Christmas. I love the Christmas songs everywhere you go. I love peppermint mocha. I love all that stuff. And for me personally, with the year that we've had this year, more than any other year in my memory, I have been so looking forward to this season. And we had our Christmas decorations up early this year in our house. It was like two Saturdays ago, I was up on the roof. And folks, I never get on the roof. I was up on the roof, excited, ready to put up the Christmas lights. And I know I wasn't the only one. In fact, this past week, the Racine Journal Times did an article about how many people are so eager to get their lights up early this year. I think many of us this year are just so eagerly anticipating this season. And now that this season has arrived, I also have to say that I have some level of apprehension, some level of caution. Because sometimes, and I think this is true of all of us, this is myself included, sometimes I think we might be tempted to place just a little too much hope on all that stuff. especially at the conclusion of a year like we've had, we might be looking for an escape in all that stuff. We might be looking for an escape in the nostalgia and in the sense of the magic and the wonder that just kind of comes with the environment of this season. Friends, Christmas is so much bigger than all that. The decorations, the trees, the presents, the shopping, the lights, the eggnog, none of that has any actual ability to really give us hope or to satisfy or calm our fears. At best, all that can do is provide a temporary escape. And folks, I don't know about you, but for me, this year, I really need to grab hold of something that's going to give me real hope, something that can provide actual answers to why we do not need to be fearful about the future. And we need that, folks. We need that to last long after all the decorations come down. And so what I want us to see this Advent season, this Christmas season, not just this morning, but throughout this whole series, throughout this series, this season, and beyond, what I want us to see is that Christmas, folks, Christmas really is the answer to all our hopes and fears. Christmas really is the answer to all our hopes and our fears. It's not about finding some kind of temporary escape from the problems of life. It is about finding a permanent solution to the problems of the world. Maybe as you hear me say that this morning, maybe you're thinking, I think you're over-promising a little bit, Mike. You know, they say it's better to under-promise and then over-deliver, so maybe I should kind of back off this thing a little bit. Maybe I should be like, hey guys, Christmas is fun, and then to try to kind of maybe surpass your expectations a little bit later in the series. Well, folks, listen. When you actually see what God is saying to us through Christmas, when you actually see that, what you'll discover is that even what I just said, even that big idea, that is still actually under-promising. What God promises to deliver will actually surpass even that. It'll even surpass the reality of God's answer to all our hopes and fears. So please, this Advent season, just do me the honor of giving me your attention, giving God's word your attention. Stick with us throughout this whole Advent series. Come honestly, come earnestly, come with an open heart. Come think again about all the traditional Christmas stories, the angels and the shepherds and the magi in the manger. What does all this mean? Are these just great stories that we love to tell every year because they give us the warm fuzzies, or is there something much bigger here? Ask that question for yourself, and please hear what God has to say, that there is something much, much bigger here. In order to see that, we have to go really far back, even far beyond the manger, even back farther than 2,000 years before the manger, before the magi, before the shepherds, before the angels. Some 750 years before those events, to this little known prophet called Micah. This little prophet's book is tucked away back in our Bibles, and it's part of what is commonly referred to as the minor prophets, just because they're small. Folks, this little known minor prophet gives us a major perspective on how Christmas really is God's answer to all our hopes and fears. So here's how this is packaged for us this morning right here in Micah. That's what we're going to see. First, a town, then a child, then a promise. That's where we're going this morning. A town, a child, and a promise. Yes, all our hopes and fears hang on these three things. So first, a town. And I think you probably know, I'm talking about this little town called Bethlehem in this country of Judea. Let me just kind of set the stage for you of what life was like in Judea in those days, long, long ago. And just tell me if this sounds a little bit familiar. For years, a nation experienced unprecedented prosperity. But now, the cracks were beginning to show. Political scandal is almost a daily affair. Leaders prey upon people instead of protecting the people's interests. Religious leaders preach what's popular, not what's true. There's a growing heartache among the poor and disenfranchised. The darkness of sin seems rampant in society. And for many, hope seems like a distant memory. Folks, that is a description of Micah's day. In the nation of Judah, they're supposed to be God's special covenant people, but the cracks are beginning to show. And for several chapters, the first four chapters of Micah's book, this prophet, God's faithful prophet, he proclaimed that not only are the cracks beginning to show, but soon things are going to crumble. In fact, if you just read the first four chapters of this book, I'm telling you, there is nothing there at all that smells anything like Christmas. In fact, it's kind of discouraging. It's bleak. There's this little nation that had become a major player on the global stage, but it was always and only because of God's grace to his people. And yet for some generations now, those people, they had forgotten about their God, and they begun to see themselves as this world power just based on their own strength and might. And even as they saw that, they were looking out to the east, literally to the east, and there were these other nations rising. These huge superpowers were rising, and all the people were beginning to be afraid. But rather than being afraid of these other nations, what they should have been afraid about was the fact that they had long forgotten to turn to their God. So for four chapters, Micah has a very discouraging message of judgment. And all that changes beginning in chapter 5, verse 2. When Micah says, "But you, O Bethlehem, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." So in the midst of all these fears comes this word of hope that's centered around this tiny little town, this town that's so small it needs to be designated by these two names, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Just so you know, he's not talking about some other Bethlehem. That's how small this little Bethlehem is. I mean, no one says, "Hey, I'm going to Milwaukee." And someone says, "Oh, which one? Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or Milwaukee, North Carolina?" Believe it or not, there's actually a Milwaukee, North Carolina. There's also a state called North Carolina. Okay. Either way, no one ever asks what Milwaukee you're talking about. We just know it's that one. But not with this Bethlehem. It's that small. In Micah's day, when a nation like Judah went to war, each little township had to provide like a military regiment, a small company, a small unit to go up and be a part of that state militia, unless you were too small. Bethlehem was too small, too little to be among the clans of Judah, which is why it's so surprising that of all the places God is going to point right there and say, "Oh, but from you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." From this little town, God is going to bring forth a ruler, not like the rulers of his day, not like the ones who look to their own corrupt political power, but from this little town of Bethlehem, God is going to bring forth a ruler that's different. He's not going to lead his people into the predicament they find themselves in then. He's going to lead them out of predicaments like this. And this is going to be a fresh, new face on the world stage like no one's ever seen. And at the same time, somehow, he's going to be of old. He's going to be, his coming forth is going to be from ancient days. Like the prophet Isaiah also foretold, if you remember this from Advent just a few seasons ago, when Isaiah said in chapter 11, verse 1, he said, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." This one who was to come forth from Bethlehem, he's going to be from the line of Jesse. Remember, Jesse is King David's father. He's going to be from the line of Jesse. And simultaneously, he is somehow going to be the very source of Jesse. He is both the root and the shoot. Now, obviously, Micah is not talking about any ordinary ruler. And right here, his focus, his primary focus, is on the fact that God is going to do this through this little town of Bethlehem. In a world that fancies pedigree and pride and political power, God says, "I'm going to bring about something the likes of which you've never seen before, and I'm going to do it in this tiny little podunk town." Folks, Christmas reminds us, please get this, Christmas reminds us that God reveals true significance through what the world sees as insignificant. He shows us what is truly significant through what the world sees as insignificant. And every Christmas we're reminded that in God's unfolding plan for human history, our future does not depend on human greatness, but on God's direct intervening in our world to bring greatness out of nothing. Friends, that is how God loves to work. God always loves to work. He always loves to bring about the greatest things of significance through seeming insignificance. And he does that because it magnifies his own significance for us. Folks, he's been doing this all along, but especially through the one who was born to us in Bethlehem. It's just like Paul says in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29, he says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." So folks, when we hear things like, when I say things like, the hopes and fears of all the years are answered decisively at Christmas, no wonder why that sounds like absolute absurdity and overstatement and exaggeration to the world. No wonder that gets an eye roll from the world, because Christmas, and I mean real Christmas, biblical Christmas, not just the trappings of Christmas, not just the environment of Christmas, but real Christmas is shrouded in human insignificance. Who cares about this little backwater town of Bethlehem? Folks, no wonder why when the world gets a hold of Christmas, the best it can do with Christmas is turn it into economic industry. And no wonder why. Because that, to the world, that actually sounds like something significant. Meanwhile, what God is saying is, "I'm doing something over here like you've never seen before. And unless you learn to look at the world differently, unless you learn to see significance differently, you might just miss it. And not just miss it, but you might just miss him." That him is this child that Micah speaks of. this child 750 years before the birth of Jesus, Micah talks about a little child. So there's this message of hope. There's going to be a ruler who's to come. He's going to come forth. He's going to be different. So people will be wondering, well, what should we be looking for? Who should we be looking for? An up-and-coming local leader. Maybe the mayor of Bethlehem. Maybe it's a local celebrity. Maybe a local sports figure turned politician. Maybe we should be looking for someone whose leadership is beginning to kind of turn things around for the nation. Micah says, nope, none of that. He says, what you should be looking for is a child. The birth of a child, in keeping with God's mysterious ways of working, in keeping with his pattern of working through seeming human insignificance. Michael says, the signal flare that you're going to look for, the signal flare that gets shot up, not that someone needs help, but that help is on the way. The signal that you need to look for is the birth of a child. And folks, how fitting of a signal that is. Because just like with the arrival of a child and all the joy and all the happiness and the hope that comes with the birth of a child, at the same time, when somebody announces that a child is on the way, that child doesn't come right away. There's a time of waiting. And in that time of waiting, things typically get worse before they get better. Things get hard, especially hard, right before that new life enters in. And folks, that is exactly what we see pictured right here when Micah says, therefore, he, that's God, shall give them up, that's God's people, God is going to give up God's people until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And folks, it would be some time. We're talking about 750 years until the arrival of that child, and things certainly got a lot worse. Shortly after the time of Micah's preaching, that gathering storm out there of those world powers out to the east, they wouldn't just loom large and cause fear. No, eventually, everyone's worst fears actually came true. The nation of Assyria came through and wiped out the northern kingdom of Israel, and then the nation of Babylon came shortly thereafter, and it absolutely leveled the nation of Judah. And all its people were carried off into exile in a foreign nation. So the very people who were actually the recipients of this message of hope, they're now exiled in a foreign land. So just imagine the effect of this on the human heart. Imagine taking your eyes off the page, so to speak, and thinking, okay, someone's coming. Help is coming. We're waiting for this Bethlehem child when everything's going to change. And as you kind of lift your eyes up from the page and your eyes meet the horizons of human history, things get worse. Leaders get more corrupt. The cracks give way to outright crumbling. Soon the very nation itself would functionally cease to exist. Imagine all those people actually living in exile reading this. They're thinking, wait a minute, what happened? All our hopes have been dashed against the rocks, and all our fears, all our biggest fears have actually come true. What happened? And Micah says, slow down. Not so fast. The story is not over. Things are often not as they appear. In fact, quite the opposite. Just when things appear to be at their worst, that is exactly when God loves to show up. And when he does, everything changes. Micah very specifically says the birth of this child is going to result in the bringing in of his brothers. What that means is that this exile is going to be over. This exile, which was a direct result of the people's sin. This was always the result of people's sin. Just like our first parents, Adam and Eve, they were exiled from the garden. They were exiled from the place of God's presence, this special place where God caused his presence to dwell with his people, where they lived under his special blessings. When they rejected him and ignored him and disregarded him, he exiled them from his special presence. And once again, God's special covenant people, they disregarded him, they ignored him, they rebelled against him. And so once again, he was exiling them from the land, from the place of his special presence. But all that would change. All that would change with the birth of this child, when the doors would be thrown open and God himself welcomes sinners as sons and daughters through this child. Folks, Christmas reminds us that it is precisely at the darkest hour that the light shines the brightest. It is precisely at the darkest hour that light shines the brightest. And it is against a very dark backdrop that God loves to paint his picture of redemption. And folks, this is not just something that was true for them. This is not just something that they needed to know. This is something that is true for us that we desperately need to be reminded of. I mean, folks, how easy is it right now where we stand here in 2020, how easy is it for us to look around at the world today and say, wait a minute, it just seems like things are getting worse. Where is God in all this? And look, I want to be clear, it's not as if there still aren't many things to be thankful for. I mean, we just passed that holiday where we all reminded ourselves of the many things, the incredible things that God is still doing in the world, in our nation, in our community, in our church, in our families, in our homes, in our hearts. God is still at work. He's always at work. And yet, I can't tell you how many times I have heard this year someone say something like, the cracks are beginning to show. In fact, I know from talking with some of you that it can feel even more discouraging than that. I was talking with one good friend just a few weeks ago. He was just sort of reflecting on all the things that had been unfolding this year. He said, gosh, you know, it seems like Satan is winning. And I want to say I can totally understand the temptation to feel that way, which is why we need to be reminded this Christmas of the truth that, folks, there is no universe in which that will ever be true. There is no universe in which that will ever be true. And we have to be careful, so careful. We cannot evaluate the unfolding purposes and plans of God simply just by looking out on current events. Folks, the reality is things may get much, much worse. But we need to remember that when things are at the darkest, God shines the light the brightest. And God is faithful to show up. He is faithful to show up, and he is faithful to keep his promises, even one that is so big it seems too good to be true. That's the last thing that Micah draws our attention to this morning, is this promise. Listen to what Micah says is going to come about one day, some unknown day in the future. Listen to what's going to come about from this child. Listen to this promise beginning in verse 4. It says, and he shall stand. When everyone else falls, when everyone else lets us down, he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. His rule and reign over his people, folks, it is going to be unshakable. And he is going to care for his people. He's going to protect and provide for his people such that the result, Micah says, is that they shall dwell securely. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. What Micah foretold in advance was that someday, through the coming of this one, the coming of the one born in Bethlehem, all his people will dwell securely. You know, I think I remember saying this was just a few weeks back in our series in John's Gospel. At the end of the day, what most of us really just want, at the end of the day, what we really want is that we just want to know that in the end, everything is going to be okay. That we're going to be cared for, we're going to be protected, we're going to be provided for, that we're going to have the things that we need. We just want to know that everything's going to be okay. And what Micah is saying is that through the coming one, through the one who was born at Bethlehem, we can be sure that in the end, everything is going to be okay. He is going to cause his people to dwell securely, but not just the country of Judea, not just the nation of Israel. What Micah is saying is that there is going to come a day when this Bethlehem child's rule is going to extend to the ends of the earth. He is going to rule over everything. His rule and reign is going to be a perfect rule and reign. It's going to bring safe dwelling to everyone under his rule. A rule that extends everywhere, every nation, every tribe, every people group, every language, every day of every week, of every month, of every year, on into eternity, over every creature, over every speck of dust, over every molecule, over every single atom. He is going to exercise his perfect rule, which will bring about our perfect eternal peace and security, and we can be guaranteed of all of that. Because of the child who was born at Bethlehem. And you go, well, wait a minute. Why didn't all that happen then when he was born? I once heard John Piper say that reading the prophets can be frustrating. He said it can make you want to pull your hair out. Because it's not always clear exactly which horizon the prophet is speaking about. Folks, the reality is, as much of what he's saying here about what we can expect for the future is still future for us. But that's still what Advent is all about. That's still what Advent is all about. Listen to this description. I literally just Googled Advent. And this is what I found. Listen. Advent is a season of the liturgical year observed in most Christian denominations as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the Nativity of Christ at Christmas and the return of Christ at his second coming. And folks, it is at his second coming when that same one who was born in Bethlehem, when he comes again, that is when. Did you guys see that? It was a bug. That is when we will have all these blessings of this king's rule and reign. But folks, here's what I want us to see for today. For them back then, they had to look forward both to the day when that child was born and to the future day that we still look forward to. But for us, we look back on the day when that child was born, as a reminder that God is always faithful to keep his promises. Folks, Christmas reminds us that God is always faithful to keep all his promises to his people. And in his coming, in the birth of the child who was born in Bethlehem, what God is saying is, I have not forgotten my promise. You can trust me. I am going to bring about every good thing that I told you I would bring about. You can count on it. You can bank on it. And that promise is so secure because in the birth of that child, the ancient one, the one who is from of old, the one that we longed for and waited for all those hundreds and thousands of years, the one who existed at the Father's side from all eternity past, he stepped into our world and took on human flesh, becoming one of us, permanently uniting himself to our story. That is a promise that he will never, ever, ever take back. We can bank on it. And because we can, what Micah says here is true right now when he says, and he will be their peace. And that peace, folks, that peace is something that we don't have to wait for, that we can experience right now. But I want you to notice what it says. It doesn't say he will give them peace, as if peace is something that something that he can just kind of plop down on our plates for us to enjoy. That's not how this peace works. He doesn't say he will give them peace. It says he will be their peace. That means if you have Christ, if you have Christ, then we have peace. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of knowing that one day all our greatest hopes are going to come true, and none of our biggest fears are ever going to get us. I'll conclude with this. Phillips Brooks, he was a pastor long ago. He pastored churches in Philadelphia and Boston. And in 1865, he went and toured the Holy Land and saw Jerusalem. And while he was there, he just had to go out to this little town of Bethlehem for himself. That town made an impression. It stuck with him. And 3 years later, he wrote the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And just listen to these words. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Let's pray. God, I pray even now as we begin this Advent season this year, I pray as we respond in worship and by singing praises to you, that every one of us who can open our mouths and lift our voices to you can say these words and mean them, that all our hopes and all our fears are met in your son, Jesus, who was born in that little town of Bethlehem. We pray in that Jesus' name. Amen.